Doyle grinned as if he'd been caught playing a practical joke. This is a scenic route. I wanted to show you where I go deer hunting. It'll only add a few minutes to the trip. Sounds like there's good stuff in the homework Triss gave you.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing material, Barrett said. Triss is right. The subject is arcane and the author generalizes a lot. And there's a difference between naturally occurring phenomena and the kind of thing we're trying to stir up. But she writes with first-hand knowledge about this so-called antidote. She sounds as if she had talked to Kovacs personally.
Good man. Guess that means you're sticking with a project.
Nah, Barrett shook his head. There's nothing here that will make me change my mind. Even if we talk to this woman, there's no telling how much she actually knows or how much is simply theoretical. This craziness can't go forward. The only way to head off a disaster is to go public.
What do you mean?
I've got a friend in the science desk at the Seattle Times. I'm calling him as soon as we land, and I'm going to lay out the whole story.
Hey, Spider, you can't tell people the skinny on this deal, Doyle said with a vigorous shake of his head. You sure you want to go public?
Triss may end up thanking me for scuttling this crazy scheme.
Why not wait? He said he would hold off until someone talked to Kovacs' granddaughter.
I've worked with Triss a long time. He only said that to calm me down, Barrett said with a smile. The world has got to know what we've been hatching, and unfortunately, I'm the one to spill the beans.
Ah, hell.
What's wrong, Mickey? You said I was the one being gloomy.
How long have we known each other, Spider?
Since our MIT days. You were working the cafeteria, how could you forget?
I haven't. You were the only one of those smart-ass college kids who didn't treat me like scum. You were my friend.
You paid me back, big time. You knew the best bars to find girls in Cambridge.
I still do,
Doyle said with a grin.
With the matter apparently settled, Barrett went back to the portfolio, occasionally glancing out the cockpit window. They were flying over dense forest when Doyle cocked his ear.
Oops, what's that?
Barrett looked up from his reading.
I don't hear anything except the engine.
Something's not right, Doyle said with a frown on his face. The plane dipped several feet.
Damn, we're losing power. Hold on, I'm going to have to set it down.
Set her down, Barrett said with alarm.
He craned his neck, looking at the thick woods below.
Where?
I used to know the countryside pretty well, but it's been a while since I hunted up in these parts. I think there's a lake not far from here.
The plane lost more altitude.
I see something, Barrett said, pointing at a flash of reflected sunlight.
Doyle gave Barrett the thumbs-up sign and stared toward the patch of blue water. The aircraft descended rapidly at an oblique angle that looked as if it would end in the tall pines. At the last second, Doyle pulled the plane up, skimming the treetops before making a pancake landing on the lake. The plane coasted on its momentum toward shore and scraped up onto a narrow beach. Doyle was laughing.
That was a hell of a ride. You okay?
My ass is up around my ears, but other than that, I'm fine.
Getting in was easy, Doyle said, glancing at the surrounding woods. Getting out will be the hard part.
Barrett pointed at the radio.
Shouldn't we be calling for help?
In a minute. I want to check for damage.
He climbed out onto the pontoon and stepped onto the beach. He stooped a couple of times to look under the fuselage.
Hey, Spider, take a look at this.
Barrett got out of the plane.
What's up? Here, under the fuselage. It's amazing.
Barrett started to get down on his knees. He was still carrying the portfolio.
I don't see anything.
You will, Doyle said.
You will.
He slipped a pistol out from under his windbreaker. Barrett bent lower, and the leather folder dropped from his hand. The thick wad of paper spilled out onto the ground. Some of the sheets were caught by a lake breeze and scattered across the clearing as if they had a life of their own.